Is procrastination just a bad habit? Or is it something worse, like a vice? Now, maybe it's not up there with coveting your neighbor's wife or cheating on your income tax, but maybe it's not so innocent either. Jennifer Baker is a philosopher at the College of Charleston and the author of a recent essay called Procrastination as Vice. Steve Paulson wondered why a philosopher would be interested in procrastination.
As an ethicist, what I find so philosophically important about procrastination is how we categorize it in terms of behavior. So is it good or bad behavior? What type of bad behavior is it? Is it a vice or not? Is really my focus. But I think testing vice, testing our account of vice through its application on procrastination just reveals all sorts of things about human nature.
So what does it mean to think about procrastination as vice?
Well, we have to make some decisions. So if you want to consider procrastination to be a vice, then you're going to be taking a non-Aristotelian approach to procrastination. And you're going to be suggesting it's something that can be overcome. And then you have to make some decisions. Is it something that can be overcome through force of will? I think that's really implausible, but a Kantian might say that. Or is it something that can be overcome through choosing better activities? Or is it something that can be overcome through having a more realistic self-image?
Now, getting back to Aristotle, he did not see procrastination as vice, right?
That's what I argue. He has this very nuanced account of choice, and he would rule it out as a vice because it's not something we choose. Nobody wants to be a procrastinator. Nobody makes that decision. On the other hand, people make decisions to have vices all the time. Today, we say vice, and I almost think of it as a positive thing, like, you know, roguish qualities or something. I mean vice in the really old-fashioned sense, the unfun stuff. Vice, for Aristotle, is going to have to be something that's chosen. So someone who chooses to be lazy, for example, or a real slacker throughout life, they've made a choice. And if you ask them about it, they'll have a rationale, right? I don't think I should have to do work. I don't like working, right? They'll have all these things to say about their choice. But procrastination isn't like that. We don't intend to become a procrastinator, and procrastinators don't have great things to say about it.
So if Aristotle did not see procrastination as vice, how did he see it?
He saw it as completely typical of human nature. So even if we don't happen to be a procrastinator, or as seems kind of common, we aren't procrastinators anymore now that we've graduated from college, we still are going to have the same problems procrastinators have. So researchers have found there's not one type of procrastination. There are different types of procrastination. Some people seem to be really into the thrill of getting the stuff done at the last minute. So they get a kind of pleasure from that. Some people really like keeping their options open, so they just kind of can't make a decision about what course of action to take. And then some procrastinators seem to have a real fear of being judged by their work, so they just want to put off that work. They're perfectionistic, and so they're never going to be comfortable with what they produce or the idea that it could be looked at by others. But these things, being too into pleasure, being incapable of thinking clearly about a course of action, being way too susceptible to other people's opinions, those are things that put all of us in peril. Those are our challenges as humans. So if, whether we procrastinate or not, those are the challenges we face.
Now, isn't there another philosophical tradition to thinking about procrastination, again, going back to the ancient Greeks, that perhaps sees it as not such an awful thing? I mean, maybe there are good reasons why people procrastinate.
Yeah, it's an interesting and complex sign, I think the Epicureans and the Stoics would say. So the Epicureans, if you are writing and you find it really difficult to make deadlines, they just laugh at you for your interest in writing. You know, why are you doing this? This isn't for you. You're not cut out for this, right? Some people write every day and almost do so compulsively. Let them be writers, right? You're just interested in self-torture for some reason. So they would not take the procrastinating in writing seriously. That's not something you have to fix. But they would take it as a serious sign you need to change your life. They also think there's a type of procrastination that people do. It's kind of similar to the classic Christian worries about procrastination, and it's procrastination on coming to terms with mortality. So there are some Epicurean lines, you know, all of life is lost through procrastination. Now, they don't mean finish your novel. They mean stop putting off thinking about life.
And then what about the Stoics?
The Stoics have a slightly different account than the Epicureans when it comes to procrastination, and they're going to zone in on your self-image. And they think the big mistake we make is to think the wrong things about ourselves. So this makes procrastination kind of embarrassing. A lot of procrastination is done because we have the wrong kind of self-image. We think we are better than other people. We think our work is supposed to be better. Our work matters more than other people's work. If we just adjusted our self-image and understood that our paper is going to be as middling as the other papers, right? Or if we just were honest and, you know, called our editor and said, I have no thoughts on this topic whatsoever, and I've written a paragraph, right? If we just expose ourselves, we'd have a more realistic self-image. These grandiose ideas we have about our greatness really get in the way of our lives in general, the Stoics think.
Sounds like the defeatist view of procrastination, but maybe it would make a lot of us happier. You know, we wouldn't be sort of tortured by self-doubt.
I tried, and it makes me happier. I recommend it to students.
You're not serious, though. I mean, you're not
saying... I'm serious.
Wait, you are? Isn't the job of the professor to make sure the students do their work and on time?
No, I try and tease them. They get so panicky about their grades, and I try and figure out why they think they will be destroyed by failing a test. You know, why can't they take it? If you earned an F, you have an F. Move on. But they don't see it that way.
Now, the whole business of dealing with deadlines would seem to be paramount in this discussion of procrastination. And for some people, deadlines are what makes them get through life. I mean, without deadlines, right, they'd fall apart, and other people sort of put things off, and then, you know, they're driven to distraction with their stress. The student's life is full of deadlines,
right,
and yet you're suggesting, it sounds like, don't sweat it too much.
Well, if they are waiting till a deadline to study for, you know, right before the test or right before the paper's due to write the paper, they will do suboptimal work, right? But some of that is poor design, I think, on the part of professors, right? We know that happens. So we should assign papers in tiers, they call it. We should assign drafts. They should have to turn in drafts throughout the semester to keep them from working on a paper the night before it's due. I give a lot of midterms because I don't want my students to wait and try and cram philosophy, which I think is particularly tragic. So I give a lot of midterms to kind of fight off that kind of natural reaction to having an assignment you aren't quite ready for.
So your strategy is basically to create conditions where people can't really procrastinate.
Yeah. Now, that's an Aristotelian strategy, because I'm not accusing the students, as I do that, of having the wrong self-image or of having the wrong values in life. But Aristotle would suggest that we all need that type of help.
But it also sounds like procrastination, if we're really honest with ourselves, is a vehicle for personal change. I mean, if we really think about this and think about what makes us unhappy and how we constantly feel bad about not doing the stuff we think we should do, maybe we really need to rethink what our lives are all about.
Right. Very Stoic and Epicurean. That's how they would use procrastination, for sure.
Do you think many people think that way today?
No, I don't. They should. I mean, part of it is that there hasn't been a lot of attention to procrastination. It still seems kind of like a funny subject or a side topic. And so psychologists are, you know, they're doing more and more work on it. So that's great. Maybe it'll get more attention that way. But also, people are very ashamed about their procrastination. So it's not even something we discuss so much. Even if we discussed it more and admitted more to it, I have a feeling these insights would occur to us.
Jennifer Baker is a philosophy professor and the author of the essay Procrastination as Vice. It's from The Thief of Time, Philosophical Essays on Procrastination. She spoke with Steve Paulson.